Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. Got the football power rankings episode. We are here to give you our thoughts. Got the whole crew tonight. We have Zach Guggenheim of Big Ten Football Talk, and of course, casual Big Ten Kent himself here with us to tell us why Indiana is the best team in the Big Ten. And if you disagree, you're like me and Zach and have no ball knowledge and you're stupid. Tell everybody else why they're stupid.
I don't think either of you guys are stupid, by the way. I respect both of your opinions, but I do have some points. First of all, thanks for having me back. I hated to miss last week with the costume party. I posted the picture, but I thought coming on with green paint all over my face, I was dressed as the girl from Wicked. I forgot her name already, but
Elphaba.
Yes. I've seen Wicked twice live, by the way. Great show.
It's phenomenal.
Great show. We should do a spinoff podcast, by the way, if you guys have time to do just about like theater, if we have time for that later on. But
oh my gosh, I'm so in.
Yeah. Good job last week, guys, but thanks for having me back. And I respect your guys' opinion, but I do have factual information about why Indiana is the best team in the Big Ten. Should I do that now?
Nah, let's intro a little bit more first, and then we'll get to it. So I know there's a lot of Indiana fans in the comments right now telling us what are we talking, musicals or football? Football today, musicals. Don't worry, Matt. Well, if we get to musicals, that'll be on another channel, the Musical Huddle. Search for that here in about a week, and we'll get to it. Zach, how are we doing tonight? You're not quite there with Indiana yet, but you are a little bit, I'd say you're about the same with the rest. Oh, you hate Nebraska, so that's good.
Yeah.
Why do you hate Nebraska, but did corn do something to you in your life? Are you just like against cornfields? Like, what's going on?
Listen, they went 5-1, had a bye week, and then went 0-3, which I thought was just not going to be even a scenario like going into the season. They went 0-3, and granted, Indiana's really good. Ohio State, they probably should have beat them, but then you lose to UCLA at home. That's just bad. Like I was trying to think how to rank the bottom nine, and a lot of it was who is performing better now currently. And when I say bottom nine, I mean, let's be real, Purdue and Northwestern. Well, not Northwestern. Kent's got Northwestern up there, but Purdue, it was like, that's a no brainer. They're terrible. 18th away with you, but everybody else, I'm like, man, it's just kind of hard to figure out where to put teams, because some of them are a little Jekyll and Hyde, others are just very much like on a down trend. I think Rutgers is there, I think Nebraska is there, and yeah, that's why I have Nebraska 14.
Well, we will get into it a little bit more as we talk, I'm sure. Let's go ahead and check in who we have here in the comment section with us. Rodust, yo, IU is the best team in the Big Ten, no question. We have Matt K. IU spotted Michigan State 10 points and then proceeded to score 47 unanswered points. Wow, and to be honest, that's not the most amazing stat. Michigan State ran 32 times for negative 34 yards, 15 tackles for loss. Iowa, definitely a wagon again. Wow, yes.
A wagon. You said Iowa on accident.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, not Iowa. They are kind of
a wagon right now, too, though.
Yeah. John is here. He says, fun stat of the day. Michigan State had two drives, 123 yards, and 10 points. Since then, 0 points, 82 total yards. That is a really fun stat there, John. Thank you for sharing that. And then Hell Dog says, lowly Gophers slay a Lion-Eye off to Rutgers before we rest up and host Penn State for Thanksgiving. Is that going to be a ranked-on-ranked game if the Gophers beat Rutgers and then they play Penn State? Is that going to be a ranked-on-ranked game?
It's possible.
It should be.
Yeah. Minnesota, oh my gosh.
Hot.
I'm like starting to like PJ Fleck again.
Wow.
He's got me drinking the antidote.
Wow. Which, that's really saying something.
Which, by the way, I used in a high school broadcast last night also, that high school football team drank the antidote of confidence. And I was like, my buddy on the Big Ten Huddle reminds me of this. And So you got some airtime, JR, on Central Pennsylvania high school football last night.
Wow. That's fantastic. We've never had more airtime. Thank you for that, Zach. Thank you so much. We also have John saying, happy to see your team win, JR and Zach. Sorry about your Illinois, Kent. Kent, you've been dubbed an Illinois fan since you bought the Altmyer jersey. How's it feel? Since you bought the Altmyer jersey, they're like 1-2 or something like that. So maybe not great, but
yeah. I apologize to all the real Illinois fans out there. I'm not an Illinois fan, but I'm happy to be a part of their community because they are strong. The Illinois fan base is very strong. So if they want to accept me, I would love to be a part of it. But right now, I'm all about the Hoosiers community right now. I'm all in. I'm not daunted. Yeah. Never. I've actually never been daunted. Did you guys know that?
No. Yeah, you've never been daunted.
Yeah. I'm going to Shibuli's after this, too. Did you guys hear about this place?
No.
Okay.
It's like awesome pork tenderloins, right?
Yes. Yeah. All their food is
amazing.
After
the show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's actually a fake bar that someone made up that Indiana fans have taken to Twitter with, and I'm all about it. I love it. It's been a long week. I got to head to Shibuli's. Shalubi's. I'm sorry. Is it Shalubi's? I thought it was Shibuli's.
I am devastated that this is not a real place. I'm like,
oh my God, it's hilarious though, because people do think it's real. I think
I mean, I did until 10 seconds ago.
Yeah.
You ruined it for me, Kent.
Shalubi's.
Yep. They're all, I don't know what.
Sorry,
Brenton
Ryan.
Is talking
my bad,
about.
Ryan.
I don't know what Brenton's talking about with wet, but, I guess that's something to do with Shalubi there. Ryan asks, Lincoln Riley hot seat ? I was thinking, Zach, we might get into that discussion on Tuesday, considering we only have seven games to preview. So I think we might get onto that on Tuesday. I was thinking about Sunday, but we got eight games to recap. I think it might be best to hold off on that one.
Yeah. And I mean, the Ohio State Purdue game prediction probably doesn't even need to happen.
Well, I don't know, Zach. Did you not see Purdue almost beat Illinois and almost come back on Northwestern today? Zach?
I'm still saying.
Okay.
Probably don't need to do that one.
All right. Well, I think we got everybody in the chat for the most part brought up. Oh, Horndog1 says, quack. So assume a Duck fan. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Well, Zach, we'll let you start first with your Ducks, and then we'll get to Kent because Kent has his discussion to have with IU. Real quick, just give us kind of an overview thought. You don't need to go team by team, but kind of give us the overview thought of your power rankings and where you sit, maybe with some differences that Kent and I have. While you have teams there like Nebraska, you have Washington a little bit higher. Well, I guess other than just me, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I have USC higher at 11. I probably actually shouldn't. I think it was hard for me to know where to place USC. And I'm like, I think they would probably beat Michigan State, depending on what version of Michigan State showed up. But I thought they'd beat Maryland, and they didn't. So I think USC is just kind of an... It's funny, USC and Washington are both enigmas to me in that I like the idea of them more than I think they are as teams. But Washington actually played, I thought, quite well today. And so I rewarded them by bumping them up. And they have the win, head-to-head win over Michigan. So I was like, all right, like they're both 5-4 teams. I'm going to give the edge to Washington there. I've got Wisconsin a little lower than both of you. I just think I thought Braden Locke had figured some stuff out, and it just turns out he played three really bad teams and he's been exposed the past couple weeks. He was not good today.
Yeah. He
against
was awful.
Iowa. And I mean, he was awful against Penn State. And I'm like, I'm not sure what, like, I don't know what to make of Wisconsin. And I'm kind of back on that sense of like, is Luke Fickell the guy? I think I was like, oh, maybe they're figuring it out. I don't think so. Michigan State is Jekyll and Hyde. Maryland's Jekyll and Hyde. Rutgers is on a downturn. Northwestern, you could make a case. Like, I appreciate Kent having them higher than 17. You could make a case, but I mean, to your point before, JR, they Purdue almost came back and won that game, and that's not good. And it caught my attention that Westlot Pirates, the Northwestern podcast, the College Huddle, they said if they don't figure things out, they're not winning another game. And that told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely bad territory for Northwestern. In the first half, they looked like they were going to run away with that one. And then, from there, it was just like, what in the world are we doing? Purdue started to come back. And credit to Purdue, they did some things well. But this is just a bad, bad Purdue team that you shouldn't let have a comeback on you. So, yeah. For me, I know for me, I have Nebraska over UCLA. And I did think about that a little bit. And I got to be honest, just like from the beginning of the season, I know it's a different team right now, but from the beginning of the season, I feel like Nebraska has played better teams in Indiana and Ohio State the past few weeks. I still give Nebraska credit for playing well against Ohio State. I feel like they could have played better and possibly won that game, but for me, I still have to give them a little bit of credit. And UCLA, I mean, they got their first Big Ten win last week, and then they get one this week. Nebraska almost comes back on them, so I can definitely understand putting Nebraska behind a UCLA, but for me, UCLA, it's one of those things where it's like they haven't looked all that good all year long, and then they win two games in a row. I don't know. I feel like I need a third win before I put them above a Nebraska in this scenario, but I can't really argue with anybody too much putting them above Nebraska. And then UCLA, Zach, you have them way higher than I do. This is just a disappointing team. Lincoln Riley has no idea what he's doing. Miller Moss is throwing three interceptions in one game. This offensive line looked competent for points in this game. They were blocking well, run blocking, and they were protecting well from Miller Moss. And then it comes to the end of the game, and they just completely fall apart, which is what they've done all season long. So, I mean, for me, I just have no confidence in this USC team. They're more talented than their ranking suggests, but for me, I don't rank based on your talent level. I rank based on what you've shown me. And USC has shown me they're one of the five worst teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, Kent, your rankings, and definitely touch on IU ahead of Oregon.
Okay, I will start with UCLA because Fisherman just made a good point, and I have a lot of respect for Fisherman. So, I probably should have put UCLA in front of Nebraska. I know you just said some really good points about why you still have Nebraska in front. And those are fair points, but I think the way that I did the rest of my rankings, it was more weighted on like what's happened more recently. So I think in all fairness, I probably should have put UCLA in front of Nebraska. So that may have been my biggest misstep this week. As far as everything else, I mean, we're so close, like on a lot of stuff. I have Northwestern a little bit higher. I actually wrote down on here that I bumped them up because they actually got the win today. And considering the rest of their schedule and how much I love Northwestern, I think that this is the highest that they can possibly get for the rest of the year because they have Ohio State, Michigan, and Illinois left. And I was like, hey, I just want to get them up there, you know, by 14. I don't see them winning any of those games. So I did be a little unfair with Northwestern, like I always am. So that one's a little bit different. I'll jump right back up to the top, though. I want to talk about Indiana. That's why we're all here. So the biggest comparison for Indiana is against Oregon. Obviously, you guys both have Oregon first, and that's the biggest, you know, pushback that I get when I post my power rankings. So what I did is I did some comparisons between Oregon and Indiana, and I'll try to be as quick as I can with this. Common opponents is, I think, the biggest stat that we need to look at. UCLA, they both played at UCLA. Oregon won by 21. Indiana won by 31. Oregon played at home against Michigan State. They won by 21. Indiana went on the road to Michigan State. They won by 37. Those are both bigger margins of victory. Non-conference schedule. Oregon had Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State. They won by 48 points. Indiana, FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. They won by 127 points in their non-conference. And then the rest of the Big Ten, Oregon had Ohio State, Purdue, Illinois, and Michigan. They won by 86. Really impressive. Indiana had Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, and Michigan State. 117-point differential in those games. Indiana, second-ranked offense in the country. Oregon, 24. Indiana, 7th-ranked defense in the country. Oregon, 10. Somebody explain to me how Oregon is better than Indiana. I can't figure it out.
I mean, Oregon beat Ohio State.
But Indiana hasn't played them yet, though. So how is that a fair argument, though?
I mean, it's not exactly fair right now. They'll play them at the end of the season, though. So for me, I just keep telling IU fans, just wait. You'll get your chance against Ohio State. You beat Ohio State, you're ahead of Oregon in my power rankings right away, because every other thing you've done has indicated that you're ahead of Oregon. And all you have to do is just, in my mind, beat Ohio State. Thank goodness they're actually on the schedule there. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say overall resume. I think part of the resume that you're pointing out, Kent, is actually really, I think those are really good, because especially if Indiana does beat Ohio State, then I think no question you put Indiana above Oregon. Like, no question, especially if it's more than a point, right? Because Indiana will have gone on the road to beat Ohio State. But I mean, if you look at overall strength of schedule, Sagarin has Indiana 91st. They have Oregon at 40th. You look at the wins, Indiana, like if you look at their wins, they have not played a top 30 team inside of Sagarin. Oregon has played one in Boise State and Ohio State. And Boise State might be the best group of five team. Like, I think they are the best group of five team. They have a Heisman contender. Indiana hasn't played anything like that. And
that's
so,
a fair point, but they're blowing all of these teams out, though. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what we would expect Oregon to do. What about Idaho? Like, are they a top team in anything? Like, they beat them by 10. Like, Indiana would wax Idaho. Wax them.
Yeah, and that's fair. I do think Oregon has rounded into form. Like, I think it took them a while, and they were injured early in the season too. So I think, but I think my criticism of Indiana, and I wouldn't even say it's a criticism, is I'm in wait and see, where I'm like, I have them second. And I think you could make a strong case to say Ohio State deserves to be number two based on resume, but I don't have them there, because I think Indiana has proven with their score differential that they are legit.
I can't get my hands around the schedule thing anymore, because I've heard it all year. And I keep on saying the same thing. They're doing what they're supposed to do with that schedule. They're beating everybody by 40, 70, 30, you know, and they're doing it at home. They're doing it on the road. Like, every single week, it seems like this is going to be the test for Indiana. This is going to be the test. And they've passed all those tests way better than anyone thought they were going to. I mean, they beat Nebraska by, 49 points?
Yep.
You know, Ohio State didn't do that. So that, to me, throws away the, like, Ohio State could possibly be in front of Indiana at all. And then I don't even think Oregon would do that. And like I said, we have common opponents right now. We have UCLA. We have Michigan State. Indiana won both of those games by more. We can't, like, I get it. Oregon's win against Ohio State, impressive. Good job. You won by one at home. That's a really good win. I'm not knocking that win, but Indiana hasn't had that opportunity. And if they do beat Ohio State, it's even more impressive, because they have to do it on the road. So, you know, I can't use the Ohio State, you know, common opponent logic right now, because Indiana hasn't played them. So I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong, Kent. I'm just saying, for me, you got to beat Ohio State. You beat Ohio State, then you're right there, and you have the win over Ohio State. Even if, I mean, I know it's on the road, so even if it's like a super close game, like, there's a possibility there as well. But the one thing we can all agree on is that Indiana at 13th is laughable. The AP voters, everybody who votes Indiana outside of the top five should be laughed at publicly. You have no idea what you're talking about, and you're not watching Indiana play this season. And I have no respect for you as a ranker if you don't have at least inside the top 10. I don't agree with it, but at least inside the top 10. If you don't have Indiana inside the top 10, they should take away your vote. You're just stupid.
they will be top 10 this year, this week, because Clemson, Iowa State, and Texas A&M all lost. And they were 10 and 11 because Iowa State and Clemson were tied for 11th. So they will be, unless if somebody decides to keep them in where they are, which would be asinine, they will be top 10 minimum this week.
John asked JR, if IU beats Ohio State, then would you rank IU above Oregon? Yeah, I think I said that. Yeah,
I would too.
Yeah. There was another question here. Maybe I'll see it later on. Oh, it was about the ranking. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what the College Football Playoff Committee does with their rankings. That's really the one that matters. Those come out Tuesday. Zach and I are not going to do a reaction show to that, but we will talk about it probably first thing when we get on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. So if you want to tune in for our thoughts there, we will we'll give them to you. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, this is the worst part about these preseason rankings. Everybody wants to say they don't matter. They do matter because the College Football Playoff Committee is going to use them as a reference. Basically what they do is they take the AP poll and they say, how can we shift around a few teams here or there? And Indiana will probably be ranked, I don't know, eighth or something like that. And it's going to be stupid because they should be top five, but because the AP poll, you know, did their preseason thing and Indiana moved up so slowly, it's, yeah, it's just stupid. So, all right, let's talk about a few other teams, guys. Definitely some good conversation there about Indiana. We have Minnesota both in the top six for both of us. Iowa is both top five for us. I mean, is there any argument you can see to not have those guys in your top six, top five? I mean, Minnesota's just absolutely rolling right now. Four wins in a row. A lot of people didn't think they had a chance against Illinois. I picked them to win. Did you pick them to win too, Zach?
Iowa, yeah.
Yeah. No, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I had Minnesota.
Yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row you picked against Illinois, and they didn't win. So yeah. maybe you're
the curse maybe is it's your has fault. Broken. Yeah. Curse is broken. Can I ask a question about Iowa?
Sure.
If Brendan Sullivan starts game one, is Iowa a playoff team?
I'm going to be honest. I had a thought about ranking Iowa above Penn State. I almost did.
I don't think you can. You can't do that.
But with Brendan Sullivan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I guess so.
That would be my caveat is like with Brendan Sullivan, this Iowa team, because Kent, Iowa just beat Wisconsin better than.
Yeah. Better than Penn State did. Yeah, that makes sense. No, so, I think you're right. Like, if you are strictly saying because of the change at quarterback, like, I think that would be a fair thing. I think, you know, Penn State fans would not be happy with you, but
they already hate me. So, I rank their offensive line as mid, which honestly, they didn't look all that great against Ohio State. So they looked kind of mid to me anyway. And then they all got mad at me and unfollowed me. So a few of them actually blocked me. So,
oh man.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see with both of those teams, though, coming up. Like, you know, I think that they both have decently bad schedules. I think the hardest game out of the two of those teams is Penn State has to play Minnesota still. So that would be a really interesting game. But, yeah, I think Iowa's going to win out the way that they're playing right now. And I mentioned, or I didn't mention, I saw somebody in the comments say something about our preseason rankings. I did have them 11-1 going into the year. I thought they were going to be that good. And now they are that team, I feel like, finally, with the new quarterback. And I feel bad because I wish they were like that the whole year, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I was right. Really, I was really right. Iowa State was wrong.
It's really that Michigan State game that's holding them back, right? I mean, this would be a team that would lose to, I mean, they should have beat Iowa State, which, you know, they lost by 1 point, but they should have beat them. They lose to Ohio State. If they beat Michigan State, this is a 10-2 team easily.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, because they have at UCLA, at Maryland, and Nebraska. Now, you know, going on the road is not exactly easy, but it's against UCLA and Maryland. UCLA is playing better, but you should still take care of them as Iowa. And then Maryland, it's November. Everybody should beat them. And then Nebraska. So, I mean, I don't want to disparage Nebraska because I think their defense is still better than some people are giving credit for, but they did not look great today against UCLA. So, Zach, any thoughts on Iowa over Penn State, that potential ranking boost?
I'm not there yet. But I, and we'll probably talk about this more in the recap. Ohio State was worlds better than Penn State today. And this, don't let the score fool you. And like Will Howard, like he was a leader and he did what he needed to do. He also cost Ohio State 14 points. Jeremiah Smith cost him another four. Like, actually, I was going to say, it could have been a lot worse today. It really should have been a lot worse. And instead, it was a close game because of mistakes. Credit to Ohio State for finishing that game. But Penn State did not look like the number three team in the country today.
No, they didn't. I mean, you have to at least score a touchdown with your offense to be the number three team in the nation. Yeah. I don't care what defense you're going up against, especially at home. But they didn't even score a touchdown. It was, I mean, four red zone trips, and you came away with two field goals out of that. Like, you were gifted a spot, you know, at the goal line by Will Howard. I guess not at the goal line. It was a touchback, but you got your way to the goal line. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for Penn State, because it seems like whatever happens, they're just going to lose. And so if I'm a Penn State fan, I'm just at a loss. I don't know what to do. The risk of moving on from James Franklin is really big, but also the risk of keeping James Franklin is like, we're just going to be mediocre for as long as he's here.
Yeah. To be fair though, in this new world, I mean, if Minnesota beats Penn State, then they might be in some serious danger playoff wise. But even at 10-2, they have a decent argument to get in. And that's especially knowing the fact that a bunch of playoff contenders just got bounced again. Right.
Who's ranked higher in the playoffs? A 10-2 Penn State or an 11-1 Indiana? Not your opinion. Oh. Like, what would the committee do with them? Because we all agree 11-1 would be over Penn State.
11-1 Indiana. Because if you look, where are Penn State's wins? Like, what's Penn State's best win?
West Virginia? No.
I was just going to say West Virginia.
No, Illinois would be their best win.
Yeah.
Which Illinois just got bounced from being ranked.
Yeah. Like, Indiana.
By that time, it's probably Minnesota.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe Minnesota, too.
Oh, no, but if they're 10-2, they
lose if they're 10-2 and they lose to Minnesota.
Oh.
So it's either Washington or Illinois. Probably Illinois. But.
Yeah. And at that point, I want to go back to Sagamore.
I think it would also matter how much Indiana lost to Ohio State by in that scenario. Like, if they got blown out, like, then I feel like it would hold a little bit more weight for Penn State to get in over them. But if it was a close game, which, by the way, I'm not projecting that either one of those things is going to happen. I think Indiana could absolutely win that game. And if they lose, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Like, they're good enough to stay with Ohio State for sure.
So, to that point, someone asked me, like, how do you feel about Ohio State, Indiana as an Ohio State fan? I said terrified. Like Matt was saying, we have to stop assuming Ohio State. We're not assuming Ohio State's going to beat Indiana.
Yeah, we're not assuming that at all.
Like,
I didn't even see that, Matt. I was just saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, JR, we can both admit we are terrified of the Hoosiers.
Yeah. I said early on, I'm more afraid of the Hoosiers than I am Penn State.
Yeah.
So, we're not assuming that at all. We're just looking at records. I mean, we're also assuming right now, if you count that as assuming, then we're also assuming that Penn State loses to Minnesota. It's just thinking through scenarios and what goes on. I mean, we also talked about what if Indiana beats Ohio State and goes undefeated, and then it's up against them in Oregon, you know? So we're looking at all the scenarios here.
Ohio State wins out, but then... Oh, sorry, JR, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what if Ohio State wins out, but then loses to Michigan again? Do they get in the playoffs?
I'm firing Ryan Day immediately. Immediately.
If they beat Indiana, and then they lose to Michigan?
Yeah, then what happens? I mean, Ryan Day's never done it, so...
They probably make it, but Ryan Day's not the coach in the playoffs.
I'm like, I don't care that you got us to the playoffs. You just lost to the worst Michigan team in 5 years. Get a
I kind of want to talk about Michigan for a second because,
go ahead.
You know, the final score of that game, if you didn't watch it, which I did, doesn't really, I feel like, you know, and I'm not standing up for Michigan because I feel like they've been bad all year from the jump. But this was a game with like 8 minutes to go. They had the ball going in, and it would have cut it to a one score game if they could have gotten a touchdown there at the end against the number one team in the country. Like, yeah. I get it. They're at home. They should probably be a little competitive with them. But, you know, a couple things go their way, which it's hard to say because nothing really goes their way when you have coaches like Michigan has right now. And you're calling reverse passes on fourth and four, and you're running 50 end arounds a game, trying to be really cute with everything against a really good defense. But they were still right into that game. And, you know, I don't think that Michigan's going to do a lot of winning the rest of the year, but I also don't think it's a team that you could just be like, that's a for sure win for anybody.
Yeah. I am very curious about Indiana, Michigan next week.
Yeah. Yeah,
I do think that is the best, like the best defensive front by far that they will have faced. And it'll be interesting to see how that offensive line responds to that. And I think they will. Like I'll pick Indiana to win, but it'll be interesting to see what the, cause I think Michigan has found some things. And I don't think it's going to be an easy win for Indiana.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy win for Indiana. I mean, they might make it look easy at the end of the day, but it's going to be a battle. And that's no disrespect to Indiana or anything. It's just, you know, Michigan still has talented players and they still have a good defensive line. But that defensive line also, you know, has been suspect at times, but I think it's more on the just how tired they are throughout the game and the poor play calling by Wink Martindale than I think it's on the defensive line personally, because I do think that they have a really, really, really good pass rusher in Josiah Stewart. If I'm a Michigan fan, I hate Wink Martindale so much. I hate that they did not go out into the portal and get some good secondary players, because I mean, this is a defensive line that's going to get underrated all season long because of the secondary and what they're just unable to do. So
I think I think that game next week will look very much like, you know, what Oregon did to Michigan, basically, where it could be kind of close where Michigan's like, oh, okay, they're kind of hanging around here. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a 3 or 4 score game still. And Indiana just takes care of business, especially at home.
Yeah. I kept Michigan the even in mind. I know that it wasn't quite as close as maybe the score would indicate. Well, I guess it was 38-17. So it was kind of a blowout, but I still felt like Michigan put up a good fight, but we'll see. I think Indiana probably beats them by 3 or 4 scores next week. Okay. Matt says, really enjoy the channel, by the way. You guys are logical. Talk through each Big Ten team. Appreciate it, Matt. Yeah, we're glad you listen and watch. And, hey, you and everybody else, you got over 100 people in here watching right now. Like and subscribe. We do definitely appreciate it, everybody. So thank you for that, Matt. John says, James Franklin was arguing with the Penn State fans today. What are the ramifications of this? I didn't feel like that helped his case. At all? Did you guys see the press conference afterward?
I missed that.
I saw interaction with the fan. I didn't see the press conference afterwards.
Yeah, he was yelling at the fan and everything. And what did he say? Like, you won't even say your name or something like that. I don't know what he was saying, but
yeah,
it was something like that. And then the press conference, they were saying, you know, what do you have to say to the fans that are frustrated? And he said, you know, I understand. We're frustrated. We're probably more frustrated than you. But college football has changed. And it was like, James, college football has changed, but you stay the same. Like, I don't know. Like, it felt kind of hollow the way it worked. So I don't know. But it's going to take a lot for Penn State to move on from him. If they miss the playoffs this year, I think they definitely do. But with that schedule, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, watch out, Minnesota.
I think they still make it if they lose to Minnesota, though. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
It depends on how many more SEC upsets there are that knock teams out. Because it'll be tough with their schedule. But I'll say this, in defense of James, which I've had episodes saying it's time for Penn State to get rid of Franklin. So, like, this is not me, like, saying they should definitely keep him. I do think, and especially with the fan interaction, like, the dude's human. And all he heard leading up to this game is you suck against top five teams or top 10 teams. And then he's getting like chastised by a fan as he's trying to go into the, like into the locker room to talk to his guys. And I'm like, I get it. Like, you shouldn't have addressed the fan. And I'm not excusing that. At the same time, I'm like, man, the fan's also kind of being a jerk. And like, I get that James Franklin is paid to do this, but also like, he's being paid to help, like, give the fans like something to watch. And I don't know, like, most people don't come to my job and tell me that I suck. So like, I don't know. I get the frustration, and fans deserve to be upset. Like, I'm by no means am I saying that fans shouldn't be upset, but I just feel like that whole interaction, I don't know. I actually felt more in defense of James Franklin in that than the fan. I thought the fan was being a jerk, quite honestly.
Yeah, I thought he was too. I don't really fault James Franklin all that much, but it's just the public ramifications of it and stuff. I mean, yeah. It's like, you know, I write for a website, and on the website, before I began writing and before I could put like the tag of it on my Twitter bio, they were like, you cannot argue with people and insult them and yada, yada, yada. And it was like, okay, I hear you. But sometimes there's also people I need to just tell them they're stupid. Sometimes they are. But of course, I can't do that, even if they are. And so that's the thing where it's like, you know, is James Franklin right here? Like, does he need to call out the fan and be like, look, you're being stupid? Yeah, he probably does. But at the end of the day, you're held to a higher standard when you work for the university rather than, you know. So I agree with you, Zach. But at the same time, you know, the university's not going to like that. I'm sure fans aren't going to like it too.
Yeah.
So you have any thoughts, Kent?
I'll play devil's advocate just for the sake of the argument. I'm never going to side with people that are getting paid millions of dollars a year. I'm just not going to do it. So I side with the fan. You paid money for the ticket. If you're there, you can say whatever you want. I'm a man of the people. I want to be in the stands with the people yelling at James Franklin, like, you suck. And if he says something back to us, we're like, oh, how dare you? How dare you say that back to us? You're a millionaire. So seriously, though, I just can't. I can't get on the millionaire side for anything. I won't do it. So I'm with the fan. I didn't even see it, by the way. So I could watch the video later and be like, ooh, man, I probably shouldn't have said that. But I'm with the people. I'm in the stands with the fans.
With the fans. John is asking, he says, is Will Johnson going to return as well? Sharon Moore keeps saying he is, but I don't know.
I doubt it. I think he's getting ready for the NFL.
Wouldn't you? Like, that's what I would do. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what he gains by coming back. Like, he's not going to do anything super spectacular. They have a really tough schedule moving forward, and it's just more teams that are going to be hard on him. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you really gain by coming back. What do you think, Zach?
I mean, it's hard to imagine it the way the season's gone. So I could see Sharon Moore saying, hey, like, culture, you know, brotherhood, all that stuff. But I mean, we've seen this all throughout college football in the past too. Like, big stars, they're going to sit out like once the season's kind of gotten away from them, especially if you're dealing with an injury. And I think that's the key piece. I think if Will Johnson was completely healthy, I think he plays, but it's, injuries complicate things.
Yeah.
And it's, so it's like, I don't think it's anything against the kid. I think it's just the reality is he's dealing with an injury that could really impact his draft stock, and they're not playing They're playing for a bowl game at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really all they're playing for is a level of bowl game. I mean, if they won today, they had a very slim chance of making the playoffs. But they didn't win today. And so there's not much going there. John says, I wouldn't fire James Franklin before him coming to Penn State. The program was not doing well. I think the only reason I would push back on this a little bit, John, is because the program was dealing with the ramifications of the probations and all that stuff and the penalties. And Bill O'Brien did do a good job of getting them out of that, but I think you still had work to do. So for me, I look at this and I'm like, James Franklin did a really good job to get this program to like a top 10, top 15 level year in and year out. But for me, like, you need that next coach. And so it's really about if the program is willing to pony up the money for that top tier coach, or are you just satisfied with what you have paying James Franklin what he is? I don't know. Am I off on that, Zach?
Well, I think Franklin has a similar struggle that Jim Harbaugh had for a while, which is that James Franklin came in and the Big Ten was like 2012 was an awful year for the Big Ten, like 2011, 2012, 2013. And that's when Bill O'Brien got in. And so Bill O'Brien did stabilize the program, but that was like, the Big Ten was in shambles. Like Ohio State was, you know, a shell of themselves. They didn't, you know, that was when Urban Meyer was coming in. I know they went 12-0, but they were struggling with everybody that year. The Big Ten really has turned into a, like, over from 2014 on, turned into a premier conference. And so Franklin has always had to deal with much better versions of Ohio State, Michigan, and now they've got to deal with Oregon. And so it's hard for me to say that Franklin hasn't, like, I think he's done a good job. And I think my question is, okay, he may not ever get over the hump, but is that a function of where Penn State just is as a program? Because my question, who do you go get?
I think you go get
Kurt Cignetti.
I think you go get SMU's head coach right now. I think I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that question is valid at times. But for me, like, there is nobody who is recruiting as well as James Franklin and who is losing as much as he is right now.
That's fair.
Mike Norvell would really be the only other one, and he's more transfer portal than recruiting. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it just depends on where the program wants to be. If they want to pony up the cash to be an elite, top-tier program who competes for national championships, they can do it. But if they're just satisfied with, you know, coming short in the Big Ten, maybe winning it every 7 or 8 years or something like that, then, you know, that is what it is. What do you think, Kent?
I was just looking at our power rankings and how we have the teams 4, 5, and 6. And I was kind of thinking to myself, like, which fan base between Penn State, Iowa, and Minnesota is the most happy with their coach? Because I feel like those are the three that I hear the most from about their coach and the most volatility from those three fan bases. Like, they're either all in or like all out on their guy, and it seems like it changes on a weekly basis. So who would you rather have out of those three? That's kind of what I was thinking about. Maybe I was daydreaming while you guys were talking about James Franklin and who you would go get. I have no idea who they would go get, to answer your question.
So you said 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, like, if you're like, out of the three fan bases between Penn State, Iowa, and Minnesota, like, who's the most happy with their coach?
I mean, I think it's probably Minnesota right now is happy with. I mean, he defeated Kirk Ferentz last year for the first time. He defeated Brett Bielema today for the first time. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, John says JR doesn't like Ferentz. It's not so much that I don't like Ferentz. It's just like, I think Ferentz was a product of the Big Ten West. Like, I think that he coached the best Big Ten West team out there. And, like, for anybody who says, oh, Big Ten West teams aren't a thing, there was definitely a brand of Big Ten West football that won you the Big Ten West. There's no doubt. I'm not saying it was bad football. It's just that's what it was. And I think Kirk Ferentz was the best Big Ten West out of all Big Ten West coaches. And I don't know. Like, I don't think he wins you the Big Ten at any point. I don't think he gets you to, you know, a far spot in the playoffs. Really, I guess the only coach that I think could do that is James Franklin.
Yeah, it seems like they're the most unhappy right now, according to the one fan that yelled at him.
Yeah, they just they also just lost to a top five team, though, and a team they keep losing to. So, I don't know. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it Kent, that's a great question, because it's like, who would you rather have? I'd rather have Franklin.
Yeah.
He can recruit. He's getting better coordinators. I know Kotelniki didn't have a great game today. But I still like the improvement of Penn State and where they're headed. Like, I think Drew Aller has improved. I think that's clear. That their biggest issue, aside from the offensive line, they don't have receivers who can separate. Like, if
bring Josh Gattis back. Bring Josh Gattis back.
No, get him out of here.
That was the best their receivers have ever been under James.
I know. I'm saying it as an Ohio State fan. Get him out of here. Sorry, that the bias just flowed out of me. But in all seriousness, like, was it Trey Wallace who bobbled that one ball that Igbinosin then was able to pick off? Like, if a receiver catches that ball, this discussion is so different.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I don't get why they can't get good wide receivers in there. I understood it when you had quarterbacks like Clifford and other guys like that who weren't necessarily bad, but they weren't like gunslingers that could throw the ball deep a bunch. You know, I understood that a little bit more, but with Drew Aller now, like, I don't know if they just didn't go into the portal or what, but you would have thought they would have been able to bring at least one or two good receivers in the portal. Instead, they lost Keandre Lambert-Smith. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like,
I don't know if that was – I don't know if that was the worst loss, but well, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how he's doing at Auburn right now, but I think he might – I don't know. Who knows? All right, guys, we've got about 50 minutes now on the Big Ten power rankings, and we've gotten to the point where we just talk about everything else. So I think we'll save the rest for the recap episode tomorrow night with me and Zach. Check us out at 8:00. We are going to be talking about all the games, and if we have time, we'll get into some Heisman discussion. And then Tuesday, we will do a little bit of Coach's Hot Seat and also preview the 7 games for that week. Kent, what you got going on this week over at Casual Big Ten?
Big week. Big week at Casual Big Ten. Basketball starting on Monday. And I'm going to need everybody that's watching this to please go follow me on Twitter, because I worked for 90 minutes on a video that I'm posting on Monday morning. And it doesn't sound like that's a lot of time, because it's not, but I'm still very proud of it. To me, it's going to be memorable. I don't know if many other people will like it, but Monday morning, a basketball related video dropping, and possibly dropping many more times this year. So come check that out. Excited about basketball. We got to start doing some basketball episodes again too, JR. I know I've been a little bit offline here, but I need to get on and talk hoops with you again, man.
Yeah, we'll get you on. Well, every Thursday starting right now. So we'll see where we go from there. But for now, it's every Thursday. So we'll get you on again and talk through.
I think I'm going to do a basketball power ranking tomorrow, too.
I was thinking about doing a power ranking every single episode on Thursdays, but we'll see.
Ooh.
That would be fun. Zach, what's going on? Big Ten football talk and all those things.
I'll figure out tomorrow what I'm doing for the podcast. Got to figure out. We got a busy week this week personally, so it's all good stuff. But son's birthday anniversary, so got some bigger things on the plate than podcasting. So
there you go. All right, everybody. Well, we appreciate you being here. Yes, John is mentioning, I've tweeted that out, Ohio State is a 10.5 point favorite over IU on FanDuel. We'll see how that works out for him. I think that line will change. I don't think that line is going to stick. So we'll see how it changes over time. But we appreciate everybody being here, and we hope that you have a good one. And me and Zach will see you tomorrow night at 9:00 for our recap episode. And then we'll see you again on Tuesday. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
See ya.